How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. Full Gear Fallout. That was a long show. From Newark, New Jersey. I was not there at the show. I had a kid-free weekend. My wife and I were gallivanting all around New York City this weekend. But I did catch the show, and I got to tell you, it was a good show. It was I'm going to start off. I have a lot to say about this. It was a good show. A lot of strangeness during the show. The end of the show was bonkers. I don't know what to make of it. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. A really good tweet that I saw, an X post that I saw, was if this was the ending of Dynamite, it would have been fantastic. And I thought, interesting. Expectations are different on pay-per-views. We're going to talk about this. The Costco guys took over Zero Hour. I'm going to spend some time on that. Jon Moxley retained the world championship in a wild main event. Also, huge mega storyline coming out of SmackDown with the Bloodline. CM Punk is the fifth man. Paul Heyman has returned. And I got to tell you, that was a fantastic, fantastic segment. Final members of the OG War Games team have been revealed. The OG Bloodline. And we're going to do a preview to Survivor Series and everything else happening in the world of professional wrestling. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on this. Hit me up on X. What did you think of Full Gear? We're going to do a full rundown here on Wrestling Observer Live. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Add me on X at Andrew Zarian. I'm also on, what's that other service I'm on now? MG, our producer. Blue Sky?
Are you on Blue Sky? Going?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think I'm on Blue Sky. I am on Blue Sky. Jonathan, our social media director, I guess, here at my company, he's the he made an account, and people are messaging me on there, and I've never seen anything. He's responding for me at this point. I gotta install it on my phone. Let's talk about this 0 hour. It was a long pre-show. This match started at like 6:40. The Anna Jay and Deonna Purrazzo match. I caught the tail end of this. I did not think that the show was starting that early, but it did. It was a fine opener. It was empty, that building. Did you notice that people were... It was a late crowd. I mean, they had over 10,000 people in the building, according to Tony, but it was a late crowd. They did not get there early in time, but they were there for that AJ match, which was something we'll spend some time on. Buddy Matthews defeated Dante Martin, Commander, and the Beast Mordos. And the main event. You know, I put a post up, and I want to say this, okay? 2 days ago, I posted on X. It was a picture from Fightful, and it said the Costco guys and Tony Khan, they're doing the big boom. First of all, Tony's arms look great.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see this picture. Tony's arms look fantastic, and I'm like, oh, man, is he going to do, like, in, like, a couple of years, that Vince McMahon reveal where he takes his shirt off and
please
he's
no,
a jacked-up
please.
Old guy? Yeah. You don't want that? You don't want... Tony coming up with like old dad denims up to the nipples and just big chested and big armed oil up. Come on. We're going to get that.
Keep it in the past, Andrew. Keep it in the past.
So there was a great photo posted, and I wrote a nice comment. Listen, sometimes you just got to think about people, right? I said, as a father, I love that he's able to give this incredible experience to his son. That's what matters at the end of the day. For all the criticism, why are these guys on there? I don't know who they are. I don't know who these guys are. Who are these guys? It's a waste of time. Do you know how many likes this post got?
A lot, right? It's like
12,000. 12,000 likes. 500,000 views. You cannot tell me that this was not a successful marketing campaign by AEW. My kids' friends all know who these people are. That's all they were talking to my son about. Yesterday, my son calls me. His best friend is all into this, wants to know how he could watch the show. Guess what? This is a company that needs to tap into all different demos, all different markets to gain as much viewers as they can. This is hitting a very specific young market that's not necessarily familiar with AEW. And it worked. Whatever this was, whether or not it's a long-term thing that helps them grow, or this was a one-off, it was a success. That match they had with QT Marshall, that building erupted for these guys. One of the biggest pops of the night. When the kid hit the spear, it was insane. I mean, we have friends in that building. They were all telling them, their message, they're like, I can't believe how over this guy is. Do you know what the best part was? The Big Show holding the Rizzler's hand down the ramp. Okay? So freaking wholesome. But some of these comments on this, it's like heinous. It's like he's forcing his son into this. He's doing it for himself. Even if he is doing it for himself, you don't think his son has a great experience with this? What would he be doing in Boca if his dad didn't come up with this TikTok video and then they blew up after this?
You know what's great about it? And not to interrupt you, but you know what's great is they had one segment on the C show to set this up.
Yeah.
That they did that contract.
Everything else was social. Everything else was social.
Yeah, everything else. And it was nothing. And everybody was like making a big deal. They used literally no TV time to set this up.
I thought it was great. You know what? Yeah. It's pro wrestling. You're supposed to have fun. It's on a pre-show. No harm done. The fans are happy. Mm-hmm. Good way to end it. You know, it's a local story. They're from Jersey. They live in Boca. I thought it was fantastic. And you know what? That guy got to live out something incredible in his life. He always wanted to be a wrestler. He was an independent wrestler. 20 years he hasn't wrestled, didn't really go anywhere. And he was able to be on a pay-per-view for one of the biggest companies ever to exist in professional wrestling. You know what? That's a great story. And I champion that. I love people doing well. He's giving his family something very cool. It's a very cool experience. Your own projections and conspiracies as to what's going on, that's on you. That's not reality. You can't look at this guy and be like, oh, he's forcing his kid to do this. You don't know that.
Now, if they jam it down our throat every week, then we can discuss.
I mean, they put out like 500 videos a day, so.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But I mean, if AEW brings them on and then it could get a little
Listen, can they do it again? Sure. I'm willing to bet WWE's going to grab these guys.
I'm fine.
I'm willing to bet they're showing up in WWE. I'm willing. I'll take that bet. Also, they announced the Max Simulcast.
January 1st, I believe, right?
January 1st. Here we go. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go into the main show. What do you think here? Start off with Private Party. A lot of people thought it was going to be Max. It was not Max. It was Private Party defending the championship against the Outrunners, the Acclaimed. The Kings of the Black Throne. The story here in this match was the breakup of the Acclaimed that were continuing. Max Caster, obviously the heel. He did his rap. He threw the mic. He chucked that mic at Bowens. They did a weird spot where I guess Caster thought that he could be pinned by Bowens and they can win the title.
Yeah.
And on commentary, they're saying that's not how it works, but the ref does the count anyway. So, gets everybody booed, you know. This was what it was. What did you think of this?
It was a little bit of a cluster. You're right about the Acclaimed. What I thought was interesting is I thought that maybe MVP would be more involved in these spots where he's people that he's given cards to because he's sowing seeds. And they didn't do anything in the specific matches. So they talked a little bit about it on commentary, but it's clear that the Acclaimed probably is going bye-bye soon. That's the one thing I took from that match, just like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big story here. Obviously, Private Party won. They retained. Next, we got Max and Roderick Strong. This was a good match. MJF was working really hard to get booed by that New Jersey crowd. It was not working until sometime near the end of the match. The match ended. Do you think
some of these especially New York crowd or New York Metro crowd?
Don't you dare
crowds,
do that. Don't you dare call it a New York crowd, okay?
Sorry.
New Jersey.
Do you think some of these bigger crowds forget because MJF hasn't been on TV and they don't necessarily watch every week, forget that he's gone back to full on heel?
No, I just think they like him. He's a cool heel.
Fair.
You know, that's the problem here. But so at the end of this, you know, they had a good match. They were all over the place. Roddy with those mean backbreakers, man. I'm always
king of the backbreaker.
Yeah, I'm like, ouch, every time he does it, and you know he's not hurting him, you know. Essentially he got pilmanized by MJF. Mm-hmm. This had Adam Cole run out and the Kingdom, essentially, they all ran out. Kyle O'Reilly runs out and like takes Roderick away from Adam Cole because they're blaming Adam Cole for all of this. I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
It's a little convoluted. I want Adam Cole to do well. I want it to be over. This program is dead to me. When we come back, I want to talk about this a little bit more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I want to pick up where we left off here. MJF and Roderick Strong. So, you know, I want Adam Cole to be in a great position in that company. I don't know. It's cold. And this program with Max is cold. It was cold when it happened last year. Maybe it's me. Maybe I just don't want these two in a program. Maybe I have some sort of bias here. I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. And I'm a fan of both of them. Right? And normally I like that when I like two people, you know, you see that all the time. Two of your favorites, babyface, heel. They'll have a match. You're into it. I'm just not into it. I don't know if it's the guys involved. I don't know if it's me. I don't know how they told the story. After this match, we got probably the first match of the night. Mercedes Moné, Chris Statlander. I really like this match. Mercedes worked her butt off. So did Chris. Mercedes looked great, though. I definitely think she needed this. The ending was it was weird, right? It was a roll-up, essentially.
Yeah.
It was somewhat of a roll-up.
It definitely was probably Mercedes' best match in the company, in my opinion.
You think so? Since she came in?
It's up there. Yeah, I mean, these two worked really well together, and it started out kind of slow, and it was, but then as it got going, I'm like, okay, all right, this is good. And it was on the meeting scrum after, they touted this was the longest women match in AEW history.
Really? I didn't know that.
Over 20 minutes. Yeah.
You know, Mercedes. Mm-hmm. For all the criticism she gets, right, and her style of wrestling, mm-hmm. that NXT, that 2015, right? 2015? 2014?
Yep. 2015, 2016. 2015 is when she came up, so yeah.
Yeah, so like
2014, 2015, yeah.
Like, she has a very specific style, and you could see a lot of those elements in the starting and the pacing of the match. She paces her matches very much like how they used to pace them in NXT. The end gets super hot, and you have all these ebbs and flows, much like every other match, but there's a very specific way she does it. I thought her and Chris did well. I wish the crowd was a little bit more into it. But I do think that this was a much-needed good match for Mercedes.
Yes.
She looked great, though. She definitely has the star appeal. You know, we talk about this. Who are the stars of the company? When you look at this roster, a lot of people have a problem identifying who the man is, man or woman. Man is.
There was something we didn't talk, I didn't put in the notes for the pre-show, but the whole thing with Camille, where are they going with that? Are they going to break
obviously,
them apart?
Yeah, obviously, mm-hmm. They're going to break them apart, and she'll be her foil, right? She'll...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where it's headed. I do think it's a little soon.
Was that just a red herring with the MVP thing, or is he going to get involved in this?
I don't know.
Ways are going here.
I think she'd be good with them, but I don't know if it would You know, the balance between the Hurt business it's a Hurt Syndicate. Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
The balance is really, the chemistry is great. I don't know if you add another person, the chemistry will change. I do think they should have another person in there.
She takes a lot of oxygen out of the room when she's on screen, so maybe it's too much. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's too much for her to be in there. I don't mind it. You know, I don't. I rather want to see what happens. Switchblade Jay White defeated Hangman Page. What a fantastic match! This was Jay White's fifth win over Hangman, and that's part of the story here. Hangman has a very difficult time with Jay White. They work Jay White's ankle. Again, a lot of the match went slow, fast, slow, fast. I thought this was great. Afterwards, Hangman goes up the ramp to attack Jay White and attacks Chris Daniels. So I guess they're going to probably have a match.
Maybe. I don't know. Or we get some sort of consequences, maybe a fine out of it. This match also played into the end, by the way.
Yeah, which I didn't understand, which we'll get to.
You're right. Correct.
Are we going to call this match of the night? Kyle Fletcher defeated Will Ospreay? Match of the night?
I think it's safe to say.
I got to tell you. There are a few people that should never lose. Right? In the grand scheme of things. Not in the vacuum. Right? If we're in the vacuum, I understand. We saw two of those people lose tonight. Will Ospreay should not be a guy losing. But this mattered.
It did its purpose, though. Yeah.
It did its purpose. Kyle Fletcher was made as a key player now. I got to tell you, you know, that he has it.
Do you want to know the comp I came up with last night?
And yeah, give me.
I was talking to Rick, and then you brought it right up after. This is Randy Orton about 10 years ago.
Yo, he looks, I got to tell you, you know, I saw the meme.
Same,
I saw the meme, and I think he's leaning into it a little bit. But I really like this look, and these two did so much. You know, Ospreay's helping out a friend. I don't want to see Will Ospreay lose again, though. This really helped Kyle Fletcher. And if Kyle Fletcher is going to be in that tournament for the Continental Championship, the Continental Classic, he needs to win it.
Amen.
He needs to win it. You know, that's how you make it. Okada doesn't need that belt. Okada's not doing much. The New Year's starting. You move Okada into a big picture idea rather than him do nothing. And now you have Kyle Fletcher as that worker for that title. That's what I want to see. But these two had a great match. Mariah May and Mina had their segment. The champagne celebration. So they hugged. They danced. Mariah took the champagne bottle to attack Mina. Mina ducked it. Looked at
her. She kicked it out of her hand.
Kicked it and shattered it into a billion pieces.
And she was wearing open-toed shoes, too. I was like, how did she not cut her foot open?
I don't know, because you know what? That sugar glass or whatever that is, that stuff, it still cuts you. So,
right.
I don't know. But she speared her off the ramp onto a table. She was bleeding from her mouth. She rubbed her bloody mouth all over Mariah. So that's the world title situation here.
It was reminiscent of what Mariah did to Tony. So that's where we got that from.
I thought it was good.
That's what I thought. Well, this whole segment was for, just to bring Tony back, but I guess not.
But maybe at the next match. So, all right, whatever. You know, this was what it was. Daniel Garcia defeated Jack Perry to win the TNT Championship. What did you make of this match?
I liked it. I was glad Garcia got the win. You could tell they were going to put the title on him. Just the way they were talking about his mom. His mom did the intro to his before the match. So I'm like, oh, he's getting this title.
So my
good
question
win.
Now
kinda
is,
kind of needed this.
He's in the Continental Classic, Daniel Garcia.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is the TNT title on the line?
That's a great question. Didn't they do that with
They did. Yeah, well, but that was
Eddie Kingston last year, right?
I don't know if that was a one-off to become the Triple Crown. You know, they did the Triple Crown thing and they dropped it immediately. So I don't know if they'll continue. I'm curious. I'll ask. I'll find out next week. But
yeah, my My guess is that it'll just be there. These matches won't be for that title. Yeah.
For all the crap that Jack Perry gets, I got to tell you, he has become night and day a different human being. He's so much more comfortable. He's growing up. I don't dislike Jack Perry. I think Daniel Garcia is fantastic. I think this was a perfect next generation up and coming match. They did a good job here. Takeshita defeated Ricochet to retain the AEW International Championship. There was very little heat for this match.
Yeah.
And I just think it was the placement, because at this point, and I'm getting feedback from people in the building, they're realizing it's like 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it was. It was like 10 something. And there's 1, 2, 3 more matches. It got a little long. But this wasn't a long match. I thought this was okay. You know, no heat. Nothing wrong with it fundamentally. It was a fine match. Bobby Lashley in his pay-per-view debut match for AEW with MVP and Shelton Benjamin defeated Swerve Strickland. You know, the story here was you got two fantastic pro wrestlers. Bobby Lashley is made out of rocks. I'm curious what he thought of the style difference, right? Being in
WWE,
it's a lot
different, right?
It's a lot different. Swerve did a good job at making Bobby look like $1 million. I thought this was a really good matchup.
He worked outside of WWE for years, too.
He did. He was in TNA for a long time. But what did you make of this? Did you like this match?
I thought the right person won. I didn't have any problem the way they did it. Them attacking Prince Nana at the end with the Hurt Lock.
Yeah.
That's setting up something. I'm wondering if they're trying to get Swerve to switch sides. We'll see where that goes.
I don't know. I said this before. There are two or three people that should never lose, and two of those people is Swerve Strickland and obviously Will Ospreay. They lost. Long term, they should not be losing, but when in a vacuum, this was fine, and this is going to continue the story. I'm curious where this leads to. It's a very different company, man. This is a very different AEW. Very, very different AEW, and we're seeing all the changes happen. I thought Bobby looked good. I liked the team. MVP was a good, great guy on the outside there, getting involved when he had to. But a lot of heels won on this show. It was heavy, heavy heels. Everything was heel-based. When we come back, I'm going to spend some time on this main event. We're going to talk about SmackDown, also the return of CM Punk being the fifth man. But I want to get your thoughts on the main event. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's go right into this main event. Jon Moxley defeated Orange Cassidy to retain the AEW World title. Couple notes here. A lot of this show is very outside heavy. A lot of shenanigans on the outside. In almost every match. I was kind of tired of it by the time the main event started. You know what I mean? Just a lot of it.
I do.
Not that this was a bad match. Essentially, I mean, Jon Moxley beat the crap out of Orange Cassidy. Claudio and Pac would come out towards the end of the match. There was blood everywhere. Cassidy was bleeding and bleeding early on, too.
This was like 70-30. They didn't give Orange Cassidy a lot.
No.
I think it was designed that way.
Yeah, Marina is so menacing on the outside. Great. I mean, her look is fantastic. She looks like $1 million.
Oh, I love it. And I love what happened with next after that.
So Claudio, they come out towards the end. Here comes Ishii, Kyle O'Reilly, and Rocky Romero to fight them off. Willow comes in to take out Marina. Wheeler Yuta.
Which I think is going to be a nice little women's program.
That'll be a nice program. Actually, to be honest, Marina does not need to wrestle.
No.
No, I think she's far more valuable in this management position than in a managing position than wrestling. But I listen, Willow and her could have a great program. So Wheeler Yuta comes in, ref is distracted, attacks Orange Cassidy to give mocks the win. And here's where things get a little nutty.
To say the least.
Okay. I'm going to break this down as it happened. Yuta takes out chemicals, like almost like Windex.
That's what it looked like. I hope it was like that blue Gatorade.
It was the blue Gatorade. He pours it all over Orange Cassidy. I don't know for what, to like burn him. I thought to set him on fire. I don't know. He was healing his wound on his head. Maybe he was helping him. He doesn't want him to get a staph infection. Mercer is dangerous. So he does that. Christian comes out. I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me. I jumped. Hangman Page comes out to the ring and attacks everybody. Attacks Moxley. Moxley's out. Christian comes out and tries to cash in the contract. Page is
and there was a little,
the contract.
Little exchange there. The little exchange there with Kate. Hangman. He's like, "You give me first shot," and he gave him the and he picked up the contract for him.
And he gave him the contract back. He goes to cash in, but here comes Jay White. Then
because
Jay White gets taken
Christian.
Out because he's mad at Christian. Yeah, then Jay White gets taken out. Okay. Death Riders would leave the arena out of nowhere as they're about to enter their truck. Here comes Darby Allin driving 100 miles an hour. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but he's driving freaking fast. He smashes right into the car, wrecks both cars, and guess what? It was not a stunt man. It was actually him.
It was him.
And he
and
comes
he was
out
busted open.
And he's busted open on his head, bleeding from the car accident. Can nobody commit vehicular homicide anymore?
It was twice.
I'm stealing that line. I'm stealing that line from my buddy Jeremy at Fightful. Jeremy at Fightful had the tweet of the night with that. I'm like, what is happening here? And that's how the show went off the air.
Oh.
You know what? That a fantastic ending to Dynamite. I want to see what they do next. For a pay-per-view? I don't know. I was
That's
tired by the time this
it.
Happened. I yep. was very tired. The crowd was tired. It's a long drive for everybody. Leaving Newark to go wherever they're going. My buddy in Rockaway, it took him 2.5 hours to get home after this show.
Jeez.
That says a lot. And that was a story for everybody. So we'll see how it went. Some notes from the scrum. Anything of substance here?
Some of the Tony Khan notes were...
AJ was positive about his pre-show match, said that the goal was about making people happy and being a hero, and that's what he did. Tony's open to doing more with him, and he wants to do more. I don't know what that means. I don't want to, you know... to be honest, what they should have done was had the match on Dynamite, okay? And it could have ended in some wacky ending that turned into the pay-per-view. I think they could have milked this twice. In hindsight, Tony Khan regarding the pay-per-view buys, Khan said he didn't have numbers yet, but he strongly suspects it'll be better than Wrestle Dream. I don't remember what the Wrestle Dream number was. Khan said WWE ID would have an effect on the indie scene, but he has been providing independent talent with opportunities for a while, pointing out that the best place for independent talent to go during the pandemic was AEW, specifically highlighting Daniel Garcia, who benefited from it. You know who else benefited from that?
Who would that be?
Eddie Kingston.
Yep. Fair.
Khan had only positive things to say about Big Boom AJ and Big Justice, saying that today was the first time he met the Rizzler. He said that there were people calling him that have not watched AEW TV, friends, that said that they turned it on because of the Rizzler.
Wow, says a lot, huh?
Says a lot. And that was it. Nothing else. He was asked about Copeland. Khan said that he couldn't wait to have him back in the near future. So maybe that's something happened there. That was it. Let's go into SmackDown here, okay? Because this was we spent a lot of time on AEW because it was a big pay-per-view with a lot of moving parts, but SmackDown was a fantastic show. Bloodline 2.0 started the show. Solo demanded that Roman meet him later in the ring. And give him his terms of surrender. because they don't have a fifth man. That was great. LA Knight defeated Santos Escobar to retain the United States Championship. Evil Nakamura would attack him after the match. He's an evil ninja.
Something like that. I don't know. I kind of like it. I kind of like this, like, dark Nakamura.
Yeah. Oh, Chelsea Green. I forgot. Chelsea Green defeated Blair Davenport and Bianca Belair to advance for the women's U.S. title. I think she should get that. Jade was also shown lying on top of a hood of a car. Why is everybody getting killed by cars?
I was going to say, this was the first vehicular homicide.
Vehicular homicide of the week. Yeah, this was the first one of the weekend. We got two. Bianca would leave the match to assist Jade. Cody and Kevin Owens segment. This is leading into Survivor Series. The promos have been great, especially from Kevin. He's been fighting the bloodline for four years, and when Cody decided to side with Roman, it pissed him off. And you know what? That is the simplest of stories to tell. Hey, dude, I've been fighting this guy for 4 years. What do you mean? Yeah. What's wrong with you? You're teaming up with this guy now? Okay, I get it. Makes all the sense in the world. So the bloodline, the OG bloodline's in the back. Roman said that they would probably have to go on four on five for war games. So they're setting you up here, right? They're letting you know. Naomi and Bayley defeated Tiffany Stratton and Candice LeRae. Both war games teams would end up getting involved, including Rhea. Rhea is wearing that gnarly mask now because of her orbital issue. Montez Ford defeated Tommaso Ciampa in 7 minutes and 48 seconds. And here we go. Bloodline segment. Paul Heyman comes out.
Oh. Right when Roman was about to say something, like he was, are you going to surrender? And he's putting the mic up there. And I'm like, okay, here it is. This has got to be where it is. And yep.
Yeah.
We got the best line in wrestling.
Here comes Paul Heyman. And he introduces the fifth man. And it's CM Punk. And I got to tell you, I don't think people expected it to be Punk.
It was a nice red herring, huh? It was everything they were doing.
Yeah. And you know, it's long-term storytelling, right? Because one of Punk's first promos, he brought up, you know, he started naming names, and he goes, Roman Reigns, the tribal chief. He goes, I acknowledge you.
Well, remember that.
But also acknowledge that I'm the original Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah. Well, remember that segment where Paul Heyman was in the ring with the Bloodline, and CM Punk came out on Raw to defend Paul Heyman. And he kind of set that up then.
Yeah.
It was a few months ago.
Yeah. So listen, this is interesting, right? Because does CM Punk turn? Does Paul turn with Punk?
Notice what he was wearing. Did you see what he was wearing?
No. What was he wearing?
He was wearing a sport coat with a plain shirt on underneath, just like Solo Sikoa wears. Same style.
Punk?
Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman had, if you look at his
I didn't notice it.
His wardrobe, it's exactly the same style that Solo Sikoa wears. And I believe it was the same color when he got attacked at MSG.
You could be wrong. Is that your conspiracy?
No, I just find it interesting. I don't know what it means. It's just a tidbit that I thought.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it. He was wearing it. Yeah, he was in his Paul. You know what? Yeah, I did notice this, and you know what I thought? He was in his Kane Paul Bearer outfit.
Yeah,
he looked like Bearer when he was managing Kane.
He also looked a little different. Like he was tanner. The character seemed more like the old Paul Heyman that was like the advocate for. He did. He came off a little more like that.
Yeah, you know what? He came off as the old Paul Heyman of like the SmackDown era. That's how he came off. So CM Punk is the fifth man. I'm
here for it.
I want to see him and Roman. I want to see him and Jacob Fatu. I want to see all of this. All of this. And this is a nice reset for Punk, you know? I don't know where they're going.
Put that man in bubble wrap. Just put that man in bubble wrap.
Because you know what? you talk about it. Right? Regardless if you like this guy or don't like this guy and you're mad at him. Holy moly, he has it. He's always had it. he was never the traditional pro wrestling look. He was always an outlier. And every time he shows up, it's impactful. And this is going to matter. It's got a lot of people excited for the pay-per-view.
And this will be a year anniversary of his return, too.
And it'll be a one-year anniversary of his return. He showed up at War Games at the end of the match. WWE issued an injury update on Jade. Deep lumbar paraspinal muscle contusion, a bruised kidney, a sprained MCL in her right knee, and a tibia plateau.
And she also had her head attached.
On her right
unattached.
Knee. And facial lacerations. She was transported to an undisclosed medical facility for treatment. So here's what we have here. World title match, Gunther versus Damian Priest. Women's War Games match is set up. And now the men's War Games match is set up. Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, Sami Zayn, and CM Punk versus the Bloodline. Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, and Bronson Reed. I think Bronson Reed should stay with them.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
It makes a lot of sense. I like him. He's a big boy. Dude, him and Jacob Fatu for the tag titles? Yes, please. I'll take it. Fantastic stuff. When we come back from break, final segment of the show. And we'll get out of here. That's how it works. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. Busy week for pro wrestling. I thought it was two back-to-back really good nights of pro wrestling. You know, it could get a little exhausting at times, but the year's ending and everybody's heating up. I know AEW has big plans for January. The new year is a reset for them of sorts. It's a very different company. You're going to have guys like Max back on TV. You're going to have Kenny Omega back on TV. Now you got Bobby Lashley there. You got Shelton Benjamin. It's turning into something very different from what it was. We'll see where it goes. I hope it's all positive. But in WWE, they're hot now. CM Punk's back. They're going into War Games. And then now we're in January comes. We're getting ready for the Rumble because it's a late Rumble this year, right? February.
February 1st, I believe.
Is it? Yeah, so it's a later Rumble, like a week later. But, you know, I don't even know who could possibly win it. The story is so much surrounding Cody and Roman and The Rock and CM Punk, where they could go in any direction here, and it could be a nice surprise. And plus, you have everything else that's going on. You know, you have Gunther as a world champion. You have Seth Rollins involved in this. Very unique time for both companies. But one has to make decisions a little bit smarter than the other one. And that's AEW. Overall, it was a good pay-per-view. Would you say B? B plus? B?
I'm with the B. I'm good with the B. Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
Maybe a B minus, just from some of the overbooking.
I would go with a B minus. You know, a little overbooking, but the matches were good. The crowd was, it was a big crowd, but they were kind of sitting on their hands at times. Just they're at a very unique period right now. With that said, that's it for this week, guys. We'll see you all next time. Take care.